Hey everyone, welcome back to The Growth Signal, where we are rethinking how we build customer relationships. And I'm so excited to welcome my new friend, Cynthia. Cynthia, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much. So happy to be here.
We had a pre-call, and sometimes I do those, sometimes I don't, but it was a really great conversation. So not to set the bar too high, but I have a feeling this is going to be a really good chat.
I hope so too. I'm looking forward to it.
So let's dive right into it. Cynthia, what is your hot take?
I was thinking about this, and basically, here's my thought. I think there's going to be a consolidation of roles across the customer journey due to, you know, tech companies' desires to maximize their profits. We know people are expendable, the onset of AI, and also just the evolution to more streamlined customer experiences, but it's going to be a bumpy road. So my take is, I think like the BDR, SDR, and AE roles are going to roll up into one full cycle sales role. CS and the account manager roles are going to roll up into one commercially tied role, and service desks are going to be highly automated via AI, which is already happening, I think.
I had someone on the show a couple of weeks ago who basically said everything you know now and have learned to expect when it comes to these roles is dead, like full stop. And I think that that's kind of what you're saying, right? Like to be kind of catchy and clickbaity, right? CSMs are dead and customer success is dead and account management is dead and like everything is dead, it seems. At least my LinkedIn page is the death of everything that we're seeing around us. But you said it's going to be bumpy. If that's what we believe, how do we start moving in that direction where we're not a fragmented experience, where it's one consistent feeling or role or process for our customers?
Yeah, I know. And I think that's part of it too. That's part of the reason I think that these are going to ultimately consolidate, because I think, you know, the SaaS model, you know, was basically like, let's put everybody in these specialized fields. And in theory, I guess it makes sense, right? Like, hey, we'll have like, you know, the perfect experience at each stage with these different people. But what it's really looked like is that, you know, the handoffs don't really ever happen, right? Or not regularly. And so I think instead of like these handoffs from SDR to AE and then AE to CS and CS to service, where, and then, you know, customer success gets very confused with account management and service desk. Sometimes I feel like it's just service desk 2.0, which that's not the goal at all. So I think it's, and that's why I kind of mentioned the kind of like the onset of AI and then like this kind of desire to shrink. That I'm seeing a lot in my feed as well about these companies talking about how they want smaller teams, right? They want people to do more, wear more hats. And this is where I think AI ties into it. But I think it's already been bumpy. I've heard some really crazy stories about like, I have a friend who works with companies looking to institute or implement AI. And he worked with two different companies. One of them got rid of their SDR team. And used AI. And 6 months later, it was a disaster. Of course, they had to rehire everybody. And another company completely got rid of their marketing team and implemented AI. And of course, that was a disaster. And those are both top of the funnel functions. So I think, you know, I think you were saying this, like it should be much of a more augmented experience. And I agree. It needs to be working with. You can't just get rid of the humans. And I think that mix is what's causing the initial bumpiness.
Yeah. And I'm a total early adopter. So like for me, I'm like, yeah, let's explore all of these things. It's very clear that like you were using an AI, which like no shade to you, but make sure that you have the guardrails in place to ensure that it's a great representation of your brand. Honestly, nothing drives me crazier than when you interact with an AI and it's not a great experience. And especially if you're a big dog brand, like you can afford to make sure that your AI does what it's supposed to do and represents you well. And you're spending, you know, millions of dollars on your brand ambassadors for your Super Bowl commercials, but you're spending thousands of dollars on your AI. And like, that's your first brand ambassador when people come to your website. And it's a terrible experience.
Oh my God, I cannot agree with you more. And also, you know what it reminds me of? Remember when the chat boxes first appeared like 5 or 6 years ago? And they were supposed to be like, you know, it was just like, oh, this is like an instant helper. Well, I have to say, like, they're like, well, this is the beginning, because it was always a clunky interaction. Unless you had like a really generic question, you were like, representative, like when you make a phone call to a company, you're just like, representative, just give me a human. And I don't think that chat box experience has improved much. Maybe it has, maybe with AI, there's been more interactions. But I think that's another example of just like, you're trying to like, you know, stop your customers from talking to an individual, but your AI is not up to scratch to ask, you know, like on the fly questions and interact with the customers. And I, quite frankly, I think if you could, you'd have happier customers. If I have basic questions that could be addressed by like a bot, you know, on a chat box, let's get her done. Let me get on with my day.
Yeah, I actually, there's an entire like subculture around those chatbots that came up from that. There's a website called gethuman.com, and it's literally how to find the numbers that goes directly to a human and bypasses all the chatbot stuff. And there's an entire Reddit subsection devoted to how do you get around these stupid chatbots so you can actually talk to a real person.
That's insanity. I mean, you know, and I think that, and again, that's like the AI chatbot, that whole sort of like automation mentality. I think automation makes sense, but again, you have to do it, you know, like properly and with a real strategic plan that actually works. But also like this, and that's one of the things, the onset of AI is definitely going to change what teams look like and how we interact with our customers. But the other half of that is, you know, in terms of why some of these changes are going to happen is, I don't think like customer success, especially, as just, it looks different from one company to the next. There's so many variables, right? Like the stage of the company, the complexity of the product, et cetera, how customer success is defined. Are they tied to commercials or not tied to commercials? And I think that's part of the problem why it's so super clunky at companies. If you have like a CX and an account manager, I've had customers ask me like, who do I go to for what? Right. And I think that to me is a very, like, on that post-sale side with your existing customers, I think it's going to morph into one. And I'm not saying one of them's going to go away. Like, you know, like there's going to be no more account managers. It's going to be like you go to a company, either CS or account management. And this CS is going to have to take on commercials because it's really the only way you're going to be secure.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with that. I had a guest on the show and I cannot remember for the life of me who said it. But I want to go back to, you made a comment at the beginning about if your team is fragmented, then the handoffs don't happen. And I had a guest a couple weeks ago who said you can't automate a broken process. And I think you're both saying the same thing. Like if the handoffs didn't happen when you had people involved, they're sure as hell not going to happen when you add automation to it. And if you haven't fixed the underlying experience and thought through that process, then you're never going to be able to automate that or improve that experience with AI, no matter how many tools you buy or consultants you hire.
Oh, that's so well put. I totally agree. And it's funny because I think I'm seeing a lot of that. A lot of my peers, we talk about this as well. If you don't have a process that works to start with, you can't just slap on AI or some sort of automation process. And I think that's really what we're talking about here, is that you have to actually have a plan that works to start with in order to, you know, basically scale that. And it just reminds me, like when I was in my sales days, you know, I was doing outreach, right? So you're trying like all this different messaging. Should I change the of to the or whatever? But the point is like, you know, you really wanted to, you know, try to customize it at scale, which, you know, obviously it doesn't make any sense. But that's what's happening with automation right now. And I think when it's used properly, like if teams or leaders are doing segmentation analysis and looking at what types of clients do what, really much more specific, you're going to have much better thoughtful interactions from an automation standpoint. And quite frankly, it's going to free up time for your team to have better conversations with their customers.
Yeah, I think we have to stop trying to automate away the human and automate away the minutia so that we can focus on being human.
Oh, I totally agree. And I think, but here's the other part, the second half of the problem with that, because I agree with you on that. But I think it frees up time for having like more strategic conversations. People say, what does that mean? It's like having, especially I'm thinking customer success specifically, having business conversations and being able to do discovery. And I say this all the time. I feel like every call with the customer should be a discovery call. You should be asking questions, understanding, gathering information, bringing in information they gave you in the past so that it establishes your credibility. And that's going to lead, those sort of conversations are going to holistically and organically get you to expansions and opportunities and secure like your revenue. And somebody was telling me, I was at an event the other day, someone said, you know, it's, you know, recurring impact equals recurring revenue. And I was like, that is so well put. And recurring impact isn't check-in emails or check-in calls. No one wants that. You know, it is about value add. Hey, you said XYZ. We just launched this feature that addresses that specific issue that's, you know, unique to you or your industry. You're going to get a call back on that. You're going to get an email response if you are targeted in that way.
So at the beginning, your hot take was that these roles are going to consolidate. They're going to go away. If you could wave your magic wand and design what that looks like, what do you think businesses should be doing? What do those roles look like? How do they interplay? You know, let's go into the world of fantasy for a minute.
Yeah, that's really scary. Me with the magic wand is super scary, but I'm going to go for it. Well, first of all, when did salespeople become too precious to do their own outreach? So I really do feel like the SDR, BDR roles, first of all, that's the hardest job at the company. So anyone who's in those roles, you are poised for like a much more, like nothing's gonna bother you later on. You're going to be able to have great conversations with customers, hopefully, and continue to grow your career.
Yeah, but I think if you can survive as an SDR or BDR, you can do anything.
Yes, right? You're not going to get flummoxed when someone throws a left curve. You're like, a thousand left curves. I'm going to go this way. So I do feel like the SDR, BDR, and AE role can and should turn into one. And especially with AI, because I think there is, again, if it's done properly, there is outreach that can happen through AI. If you're like really having a strategic segmented strategy to do outreach to your customers. So I think, and also too, I think, you know, the AEs should be, or I don't know what we're going to call them, just regular sales people, whatever. They're going to need to be comfortable, you know, doing their own research, right? Getting close to data. And you know, that's by Jed. I mean, my God, Google, the bunch of companies that look like whatever and check them out on LinkedIn and may start making phone calls. So I think that's going to need to happen. That's going to make them better salespeople. And also too, like, you know, from full cycle sales, that was how I came up in, you know, in the business. And you wind up really treasuring your customers more because it was such hard work to get them. When you've had to like, you know, basically research them, source them, get them on the phone and bring them through the process. You want to make sure that they're the ICP, that they succeed so you can sell to them later. So it does poise the customer for success and you for success. So that's what I see on the front side, one role. On the post-sale side, I do think it's going to be either AM or CS, but both are going to be, each company can decide what name they want to give it, but it's going to be commercially tied and it's going to be expansions and renewals as it should be. And then the service desk, I think, I don't know, this one's a little scary to me. I think it's going to be highly, highly automated with AI. And I just don't think we're there yet. I think that's going to probably be one of the bumpiest roads because I think, you know, there's a lot of companies do outsourcing to like, you know, India or other places or Philippines places where, you know, for these call centers, which already can sometimes be a little bit, put some friction to the customer. But I think there's going to be more focus on bringing AI, and I hope it's more of an augmented experience, like, you know, the 2.0 service desk versus getting rid of people.
Yeah. And the hard part about AI that I think people are coming to terms with is that your AI is only as good as your data is clean, right? So if your content and your organization and your knowledge base, if you don't have like strict relationships with that data quality and a good understanding of how to structure unstructured data, your AI is not, at this stage of its evolution, there's just no way that it's going to be able to do all of these magical things that all of these vendors are promising.
My goodness, you just touched on something that is so basic, but so critical. Data and the cleanliness. And I've talked to so many peers about like their CRMs, whether it's Salesforce, HubSpot, anything else. It's never good. It's always inconsistent.
Nobody loves their CRMs. Nobody loves them. Let's be honest.
No.
And it's because
they love to hate them.
It's because over the years, the people in charge have said, you know, we're a data-driven company, so data is important. So we're going to make this field required, even though we don't really understand where that field actually comes into play. I was consulting with a large enterprise company who had a custom Salesforce instance, and they had created so many required fields, and we were auditing that process as to why like their data was so garbage. Discovered they had a field that was required in order to put their opportunity into the CRM. And yet it was information that the person couldn't possibly know at that point in the sales cycle. And so they were putting in fake data to just simply bypass that field. And executives were running like reports off of that data and making strategic decisions off of that data, even though it was absolutely bogus. And then they're like, well, we need that field. So I guess they're just going to have to look in a crystal ball and figure out what that answer is, even though they can't possibly know it at that point. And that's just one example of one field in one organization. I cannot imagine how it spirals out across the industry.
Well, yeah. And I think, you know, you mentioned the behemoth Salesforce, which so many companies use. I've used many times at different companies. And I think so. Salesforce has got a problem. And by the way, I'm a believer in CRM because I am a believer in data. And I'm like, if I write it down, I don't have to remember it. If my customer calls me, I can just look at my own notes. So I'm a believer, one of the only former salespeople that are a believer. But here's the issue with Salesforce is that there is so much customization options on there that it turns into this monster that's unruly and sometimes these fields that make no sense and then garbage data gets put in. But it was interesting because I was at this event and there was like an architect from HubSpot, like some like product guy from Gong, someone else from like a product person from Clay. And they were all talking about like ways to kind of automate and streamline these services. And we know that a lot of these tools like Gong and others, like these call reporting tools, et cetera, are like now like, hey, we can, and your salespeople aren't that even put the information into the CRM. It does it. I love that idea, but I'm going to tell you right now, Alicia, I don't believe it. I really don't. Do you? What do you think of that? It happens automatically.
I just wrote down, what in the world are we doing that our software requires architects in the year of 2025? The fact that like we haven't gotten to the point where our systems are smart enough or clean enough or simple enough or intuitive enough that actual normal human beings can use them to full effect. And the fact that we have architects whose job it is to come in and create these things and the systems aren't just human enough to do them.
Oh, I agree. And I also think part of the problem too with some of these is, and the reason I think maybe there are the need for architects is that a lot of these, when any new product comes out, there's like a bunch of other competitors. Like I remember like 10 years ago when Gong came out, right? Everybody was like, first of all, I didn't believe it. I'm like, machine learning and AI, it's just a recording tool. I didn't buy it. It's definitely evolved since then. But a lot of competitors kind of came up, right? And so what ultimately happens is there's like consolidation. Like they just buy each other out or like they just whip the upstarts out of business, whatever it might be. But what happens is these tools are now trying to do more and more and more. So like Salesforce is also trying to be a marketing tool, is also trying to be a customer success platform. And I don't want to pick on Salesforce only because it's not just them, because Gong is doing the same thing. They're also being like, hey, we can also immediately like put this in here and then we can take all your data and then we can. And they're also saying they can do AI insights to send out automated notes that that convert 17% faster or whatever based on, I don't know, whatever data they've pulled. So I think that's part of the problem. I think sometimes when you get away from what the core value is, if you're not, or your value proposition is, and you start growing, you become more of a behemoth. And let's face it, we know you can't be good at everything.
And you shouldn't want to be good at everything. I wanna come back to it though. And I keep bringing it up. I'm gonna bang the drum on this.
Do it.
It comes back to the people of in the conversation. Like if you're on Gong and you're having a conversation and it's being recorded, the insights that help you convert are only as good as the conversation that you had. So if you are not having a good conversation with your prospect or with your customer or with your team or whatever's being recorded on Gong, it doesn't matter how good their AI is if your people are not driving the conversation in a way that actually moves the needle.
Yeah, and this goes back to discovery. And that's what I'm saying. Like, I think a lot of people think discovery is simply for the top of the funnel, but it's definitely post-sale if you're doing it right. You should be asking much, much more strategic questions. Hey, I saw an article. I saw that you're opening offices in XYZ cities. What does that look like? Is there an impact? Is it something you should be looking at, expanding your portfolio? Oh, I saw that you've just launched XYZ markets. We have tools for that. You know what I mean? Like, is that something? Tell me more. You know, is it something that we should, you know, talk about together? But again, leading to the solution and maybe not this minute, because sometimes no's aren't no's. Sometimes they're not now or not yet. And so you need to like document that in your systems, right? Or have some sort of tracking way to do it. But you're absolutely right. And it's funny too, because one of the conversations back to like the humans, some of the humans, like the question came up to the Gong guy and like, well, some people don't want to have their phone calls, their calls recorded, or there's certain things that they don't want to say. And they'll say, hang up, I'll call me on my cell phone. Well, you know, like, so because maybe they want to say, hey, I'm about to get fired. Oh, hey, like, our business is going down. Whatever. They don't want that recorded. And what is that making it into the CRM? So again, it probably not, right? And so, and maybe it doesn't for the customer's request. So it's so many moving parts.
Right. And I'm all for automation, right? Like, I'm a busy person. I'm trying to figure out how do I automate my, you know, my notes and my emails and all of those things so that I can think less about those small minutiae things. You and I in our pre-call talked about my view of AI being automated intelligence versus augmented intelligence, right? And I want to be augmented because I want to have the freedom to not think about that task that I don't have to think about, not think about the email that comes out before your, the reminder email before your podcast recording, right? I'm not sending those. I'm letting the system do that. But I still have to take the time to write them and think them through and make sure that they are reflective of who I am as a person. And would I be happy and pleased to send that email or not? Would I be embarrassed if that email went out?
Yeah. Yeah. That's such a good point. And this is like the flip side of AI too, because, you know, I did this little research project for the, this presentation I did in January, and I reached out to 25 CS leaders in my network and just said, hey, you know, this is about commercials, et cetera. But a couple of them, and one in particular, was just like, you know what I'm kind of worried about? Like the people coming up in the business, they sort of want to just press the button. They're like, just give me a tool and I want to press the button. They don't want to understand like why they're pressing the button or how to do that if that tool blew up. And that's sometimes when you go into automation mode, you're losing that kind of intellectual capital. Like, well, the reason this makes it better, we're automating it, is because this is the long process. But you have to sort of understand that underlying process for the future, right? Because what if this automation doesn't work anymore? And we know certain tactics and strategies and things work for a while, but they never work forever. You always have to adjust, whether that's personally or professionally in a business environment. So it's actually a really, really good point. And I do think anyone who, I use ChatGPT every day, I'm sure you do, and so many others, your listeners. But if I just cut and paste things that, you know, from there and just sent it out, like in, you know, in business interactions, it'd be a disaster, right? Because but it's so good for the bones, for the framework. And that's, but you do have to put your personal touch. Otherwise, it's going to be like, look how lazy this person is. Like you can tell ChatGPT, you know, stuff that just came right off. Super generic.
Yeah, you can tell it for sure. There's always some kind of like in the dynamic world of business opening up. Or mine loves to do references to symphony and music. And I'm like, why are you using that? Why are you doing that? But I do love one of my favorite prompts for ChatGPT is, I ask it, I'll put something that I write, and then I will ask it to either one, roast whatever I just wrote, or two, point out the blind spots and what I missed. Basically, I want to make sure that there's like some kind of review where, hey, you think this is a really clever post, or you think this is really smart, or you really think this is really well thought out. And then ChatGPT will point out like, you didn't think of this, you didn't think of this, this is cliche, this is stupid, like, what are you thinking here? And so it gave me a really good opportunity in that prompting to like, take a step back from my work and see it through someone else's eyes without having to have a real human review it.
Oh my God, Alyssa, you are so much more brave than I. Have them roast the post already. When I hit send, even now, I'm like, that might suck. Whatever, I'm going with it. But yeah. having it roasted, that's like an extra level of like.
It's actually really funny. Some of the things that it says, I'm like, okay, fair. Okay, now coach me through how to fix it because you just totally ripped me to shreds. Apparently, I just. I'm a little bit of a masochist for feedback, I guess.
Well, but also we do know that that's also how you grow, right? Like if you can take that on, if you can take a grilling from ChatGPT, who, you know, is basically an entity, like then you can take a grilling from a human. And that's really what we need to do, right? We need to be able to take that critical feedback and then process it. Or we just stay here. You want a flat line? Don't take criticism. You want to grow? You got to be able to know how to process that. So I'm with you on that.
There's no ego in copywriting. That's always been my rule when it comes to producing content. Cynthia, if someone is really connecting with you, if they want to learn more, where can they find you online?
Yeah. I mean, basically, I'm pretty much, you can find me on LinkedIn. You know, feel free to you know, check out my content or DM me. Or I'm active in you know, customer success communities, CS Exchange and Latinos in Success. And right now I'm, you know, on a rampage of hosting live events in New York City. So I've got one coming up on June 3rd during Tech Week, but I'll be doing some more over the course of 2025. So if anybody's in town, you know, obviously please come check them out.
And considering all of the incredible people that you've had a chance to meet who are in these groups or are coming to your events, who is leading the charge? Who is changing the way we build customer relationships?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I know a lot of thought leaders in customer success that are doing like awesome work in their own right. But for this question, I would have to say Christy Felteruso. Christy is not only incredibly smart and experienced, but she consistently shares, like, she's got a wealth of knowledge about, you know, about CS and really focusing on how CSMs can be more strategic and you know, tactical, you know, either webinars, LinkedIn, et cetera. But really, the knowledge she shares, it's from a holistic vantage point. So, you know, because at the end of the day, one-off tactics, they're not going to help transform relationships. It's all about mindset, action, and consistency, and, you know, how you engage and deliver value to your customers. And, you know, ultimately, that's how you're going to earn the trust and have the privilege of growing the business, you know, through your partnership. So, Christy, she's a gal.
I love the phrase, have the privilege of growing your business. It's not a right to be successful. It is a privilege, and it takes work and effort and luck and skill and people in your network and your community. So I love that you closed with that.
Yeah, no, that's spot on. And you know, just love this conversation, Liz. I love how you keep it real, always up for a chat like this. So thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you for being on the Growth Signal. It was a great conversation.
Cheers.